Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest has been so instrumental in line painting and my career, as well as many other franchise companies and founders. He's a leader in franchising, and I'm just so grateful and really just appreciative of his contributions in franchising. He had a very successful career at Best Buy, but is currently the VP of Franchisor Relations with one of the top franchise companies, many would consider the top in the world in franchise, Mr. Trent Halverson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nick. Glad to be here.
Ah, absolutely. Well, let's kick it off. So many people go through their lives and don't really think about franchising and frankly, don't really even understand what it is, let alone say, oh, I'm going to join franchising and get into the franchising world. So Trey, I'm just curious, how did franchising find you?
Nah, what a great question to start. I think the interesting thing is you had mentioned, right, 17 years with Best Buy, and I was in a department that was getting downsized, and I had about 6 months heads up. So you start looking everywhere, like, what's my next chapter going to be? I think I had had enough friends kind of jump ship and take on chapter two, if you will. So I kind of started that journey a lot of time on LinkedIn and connected with a bunch of people. And through my hard activity, really pounding the pavement there, a recruiter had reached out and I had started a connection and he ended up starting to find this role for franchise. And over the course of 3-4 months, spent some time with him and started turning my eyes and ears open to all things franchising. And quickly, as fast as I could, learned about the industry because I think like so many others, my thought was Burger King, McDonald's, and just a handful of other businesses that you'd see in strip centers were that's what franchising was. So that's kind of how it started. It was really from the ground up of how quickly can I self-educate myself, all things being franchising.
Well, it sounds like fate had a way of jumping in there and starting to connect those dots. So franchise, I mentioned it. Many consider Franchoice the best franchise consulting firm in the world. Would you mind just sharing a little bit about what Franchoice is?
Yeah, and I think from a high level, we are a consultant group. So our consultants, 85 consultants will help individuals and investors find the right franchise for them. I think that's what we are on the surface. I think underneath, we're so much more where spending the time with franchisors, whether we work with them or not, and really help them, whether it's sales process, whether it's validation. I think our founder's belief is franchising has to win for all of us to be successful. So I think there's a lot of support and tools and resources that we put out to a lot of franchisors, whether we work with them or not. But our core business is partnering up with franchise systems and letting our consultants really do the magic. They're out there prospecting, they're out there working referrals and really helping those individuals or investors find what business really suits them best, those characteristics they're looking for in an opportunity and kind of playing that matching game.
So you said something pretty interesting. You said, we don't necessarily end up working together in terms of a franchise brand. Is there ever a case where you're turning a franchise brand away? I mean, did you accept everybody? And if you are turning them away, why?
Yeah. And I think turning away, we never shut the door, right? So what I often say is not now. Right now isn't the best time for you for a number of reasons. And then I would like to stay in touch. There was a brand we launched last August that I probably stayed in contact with for about 3 to 4 years. And we worked on shared best practices, kind of gave them resources, other groups to go out and talk to make sure they were ready. Because I think franchisors are at different points in their kind of lifespan of a franchise. And teaming up with Franchoice is kind of, we try to get it right at the right time and make sure components of the business is there. And until that, we'll help support them, put them out in touch with several other people to understand what it is like to join with a consultant group that might really kind of juice the system as far as growth. So I won't say turn away. I'll just say not now. And yeah, a lot of brands, probably 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, I talked to, now is not the right time, but spending a large portion of my time working with those brands to say, can we get you to that point, or making sure we give them the best resources so they always can grow, whether it's other consultant networks or it's organic strategies. There's a lot of ways to grow franchise systems, and we'll try to help support what's best for them.
Yeah, I appreciate that response. It may not be the right time right now versus just no. And that's really what it's about in franchising, is getting all of those parts together that do make it the right time. That was something that you said, may not be the right time right now, but making sure that it's the right time. And when it is, then joining forces. So what are some of the things that make it the right time? What ingredients are you looking for?
That's great. We talk, like my first or second call, we're going to talk about 4 major buckets, and then I'll say 2 bonus buckets. And that deals with territory. Is a system ready to grow, for the most part, across the 50 states? Maybe not in the registration states, but they're looking to grow across the states and can support, whether it's a franchisee in New York or California, just as easy as somebody in their own backyard. So we look at territory and say, hey, are you green light for most of the US? And then we look about if they have existing franchisees. Take a pulse check of house validation. And we're looking for really strong validation throughout the system. It's sometimes we hear a third's great, a third's neutral, and a third's negative. Well, that means 2/3 of the time you're not going to hear positive. And we need to hear positive. We know validation plays an important part. And sometimes that just means the franchisor goes back and coaches franchisees that, hey, adding to the system means more for everybody when the system grows. Or it might mean, hey, maybe we have to put some money into marketing or technology because that's what the franchisees are talking to, that they need. So validation is a key role. Sales process. Sometimes the system says we just hop on the phone and talk about our brand until somebody says yes or somebody says no. And we look for a system that has a clearly defined, maybe it's a 6-step sales process, or in my mind, an education process where you're educating the candidate on what the opportunity is and how it works. So I'll say clearly defined sales process. And then last but not least, unit economics. It has to make sense. And it doesn't matter if it's $2 million investment, a $5 million investment, or a $100,000 investment. And what does the unit economics tell the whole story? What's my investment? What's my potential for return? And we just like to look at that and then compare it with others that we work with and just make sure it kind of fits in the bucket. And those bonus buckets that we're talking about, we're looking at leadership. What does the executive leadership team look like? Who's kind of in charge of this opportunity? And then last but not least, the financial strength. We can look at P&Ls, but it's so much more than that. So just looking at the financial strength of the franchisor.
Clearly all very important ingredients to growing across the country in a franchise system. What an incredible position that you have. I know personally, I had spoken to a consultant at FranChoice and really didn't know much about FranChoice. And he had actually mentioned Lime to you, and you reached out and introduced me to the founder of Repum and Nick Sheehan. And so that was clearly a path that you felt would be a great solution, at least in my case, to make things make sense for partnership with FranChoice, even though at the time I was really just reaching out to a franchise consultant looking to grow. And little did I know, I had so much more around the corner. And so when I say that I'm very grateful for you, that's really where that stems from. And I echo that again. Yeah, just thinking back to then and the journey to now. Yeah, really appreciative for what you do in the franchise world. We talk so much about the franchise owners, which are clearly very important, but there's this franchisor side of things as well. And that's really the world where you live at FranChoice. So again, thanks, Trent, for everything that you do in franchising. So you reached out to, I want to go back to what we were talking about initially, right? You're reached out to by a recruiter, and clearly you have many different paths that you can go. It's a big world out there. So why FranChoice, right? What led to you actually joining FranChoice?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to spend some time with the full team and the founder, Jeff Elgin, some board members. And then just as I was looking at what skill set I had and P&L and people and all this kind of led me down, kind of what you had said, the stars align and led me down and said, geez, I've learned so much about business from a high level multi-unit and understanding P&Ls and kind of what makes businesses tick. And then spending time with the franchise team, I'm like, oh, this seems like a perfect fit where a lot of my time spent with business owners and founders of businesses that are looking to grow. And that's what I was a part of with Best Buy, joining at about 180, 200 locations and getting up over 1,000 and just watching what that took. So it kind of all made sense and really connecting with the founder and the team here at Franchoice saying, hey, I believe it's the right fit. And so much of my previous 17 years really plugged into what they were looking for.
Mm. So you're talking about growth at Best Buy from 200 something locations to over 1,000. What was your role at Best Buy?
Multiple roles starting off on the sales floor back when I was probably 17 years old in high school, all the way to running a quarter of the company from a competitive marketing strategy standpoint. So really getting out there and looking at the competition, what are they doing and deploying proactive campaigns that really got out there and in front of the customer. And then a lot of the retail roles inside from GM to several of the district support, supporting operations, loss prevention, inventory control, up to 18 locations. And I'd worked from Minnesota to California to Ohio and back to Minnesota. And it's been a few years out of the corporate office as well.
Hmm. Clearly, it takes a team to do that, right? And so you're saying that you were on the marketing part of Best Buy?
Correct. Yeah, on their competitive strategies team, but it was under the marketing umbrella. Yep.
Awesome. So share with me a little bit more. What exactly did that role entail?
Yeah, so we had field team members that were out there from a competitive standpoint, getting into our competitors. What were they doing? So we had some collective intel coming in, and then also working with the retail leadership teams, deploying those strategies to say, this is what we see the competition doing. How can we get out there and deploy a new strategy that either combats that or gets in front of it? Sometimes that was local store specific, but typically we were looking at impacting a dozen to maybe 100 stores, depending on the market, and deploying those strategies.
So when you're evaluating competitors for Best Buy, who are some of those competitors, at least at that time?
Yeah, we had Circuit City when I first started, H.H. Gregg, Walmart were some of the big ones, Conn's down in the Texas market. So there are some regional players, but typically it was the other national players back in 2010.
And so how did that competitive analysis contribute to the growth of Best Buy?
I think they were able to deploy and react quite well. And we all know what soon came after, right? The retail competition was the whole internet made a huge wave and trying to react there. But from a retail standpoint, I think we were able to get in front of several things that other retailers were trying to do to stay afloat as the internet became a big and bigger player. A lot of price compression was happening over that time. So we're seeing prices constantly drop and bulk stacks of large TVs and computers were really hitting to try to say, hey, consumer, come grab this now versus waiting for something to come on the internet. But it was just really that dynamic shift of what we saw taking place in inside of retail boxes to the internet. And at that time, it was definitely trying to lower the price and get that consumer to grab it if they were in the store. And soon after I left, it was just the onslaught of what the Amazon and other internet players have done to retail in general.
Mm, yeah. So it wasn't necessarily just physical locations and companies. It sounds like it was also the economic conditions that were going on at the time and just how the industry evolved as a whole. Right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. There's a lot of hands in the cookie jar and things happening with retail in general at that time for sure.
Mm, yeah. What an exciting time to be at Best Buy and an exciting journey. But yeah, so I want to get back to FranChoice, and I have personally experienced what makes FranChoice so special, but I'm curious from your standpoint, what makes FranChoice so elite?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is definitely our consultants. And you can hop on our website and take a look at any one of them. And the business experience they bring, and some are franchisees, or they've started a franchise, or they're regional developers, or they've started companies. And some of them have been CEOs and founders of multiple companies. So the business experience that the whole entire group has together is just phenomenal. So understanding of how businesses work, leveraging their experience to really apply it inside the franchise model is just the beginning of the talent level that we have from the consultants. And then second, I think the competitiveness and the fact of full-time commitment of these consultants, this is all they do and they do it well. It's just, they love changing lives, assisting so many people in whether it's career changes or it's another diversification play of their investment, their pool of money that they have. It brings joy to hear the stories when they work with candidates. And they're not always, hey, and then they bought a franchise. A lot of times, it's spending time with somebody and understanding they wouldn't be a great franchisee because not everybody's cut out, right? So they're not all success stories. In my mind, they are, because I think if you learn something about yourself, that's a success in itself. So they're truly committed, helping find those truly professional business owners, whether it be an investment or an owner-operator type opportunity, and then spending time with them. And then those relationships continue down the road, hearing stories of, I sold the franchise I bought 6 years ago, and I'm ready for my next one, brings a huge smile to my face. And we hear those quite often.
So it sounds like really the people and the quality of individuals at FranChoice. My gosh, how do you go about putting together a team, an organization that has such high caliber of consultant?
Yeah, I think two things. And it's Jeff Elgin really laid the foundation when he started FranChoice back in 2000. And Linda, mentor, has really continued his high expectations of vetting when they were bringing on new consultants and really setting the stage with clear expectations. I think her and I do the same thing. She's doing it with consultants and I'm doing it with the franchisors and just making sure that it's hard work. There's a grind to this business. And she lays that out and spends weeks and months with candidates that want to become a consultant just to make sure they know what they're getting into, that they're committed to the business, and really sets them up for success.
So in that recruiting process, clear expectations, obviously some great training, but why do you think high caliber individuals, someone that started at an organization or owns multiple franchise entities, and the list goes on and on. Like you said, get on the list of consultants on the website and just look at the backgrounds. Why do you think this caliber of individual is saying, hey, I will engage with FranChoice and this is an opportunity that I can really invest in? What do you think are some of those factors?
Yeah, I think it is the training, the support, the camaraderie, right? Everybody likes to surround themselves with successful, like-minded individuals, I believe. And that's kind of the group that we have here. And then really, right, if they've founded a business or they've been in the franchising world and understanding the franchise model and what that can do for others, right? Giving them that roadmap, giving them that playbook. And not only are they great professionals that have been successful, but they really love the franchising model and what that can do for other individuals or investors as far as that roadmap to success and really believing in franchising overall. But I think it's the culture, the teammates, the sharing of best practices, right? The culture that's here is really what attracts those top-notch consultants.
Yeah, the culture. And clearly that starts at the top, right? And I would absolutely say that's probably a huge X factor and reason why the founder of FranChoice, Jeff Elgin, he is definitely widely considered a legend in franchising. Just his contributions have really led to that reputation. And so I'm curious, what is it like to work with Jeff day in, day out?
It's phenomenal. And it's so many times like I have to remind myself, hey, you've got 2 years, one mouth. Now's the time to listen. And just watching him engage. And sometimes it's a franchisor reaching out of a problem or, hey, they want to change directions the company's in, or then maybe they want to add another company and become a parent company. And I'm like, all right, let's put you on the phone with Jeff, because he's had these conversations with hundreds of people. And then being able to listen in on that and the things he brings up and puts on the table for these individuals to think about are just mind blowing. And, you know, it's a, whether taking notes or just really sitting back and absorbing as much information as I can. But Jeff's start in franchising was on the sales side, and he understands that process, and he gives so much to franchisors, to sales groups, to people in the sales education of franchises, whether it's the trainings or his videos that used to be on VHS to DVD and now are online. But like those have been viewed by thousands of people that are currently or have sold franchises in the past, and they use that as that roadmap. So it's really exciting and fun to be a part of, and definitely enjoy every day I get to learn from them.
Yeah. So those tactics, the strategies, the process, Jeff's clearly done a great job of documenting and creating that as a training, not only within Franchoice, but to professionals in franchising as a whole, specifically franchise organizations. Wow. Okay. So my gosh, I think we're zeroing in on what makes Franchoice so special, right? It's clearly the people and the training, but more specifically, the leadership and the culture. And those are all things that I've really appreciated in my time with Franchoice. You just feel the culture, you see it, and you can't fake that. And my goodness, culture kicks strategy's butt all day. And when you have great strategy, world-class strategy, and world-class culture, you know, it really makes for an elite organization. So yeah, you've seen so many franchise organizations really take off and do what you said, right? The initial conversation that you have, initially vetting, considering those 4 points that you mentioned in that initial call, and those considerations to partner to grow nationally, to seeing brands actually do that and establish a household name. What are some of the factors that contribute to brands that you see really take off and realize that national footprint?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it starts from those buckets, right? And then I believe timing has some importance of it as well, but also just education, right? Our consultants have to get to understand these brands. How do they work? What are the revenue streams? What is that leadership? So that takes some time for those relationships to kind of bond, gel, and feel confident bringing their candidates, whether they're individuals or investors, to. So I think that timing factor plays a part. And I've got examples of that, several franchisors where all of a sudden it was timing. And maybe that's a new health and beauty industry that we've never seen or worked with before. And then the consultants take maybe 3 to 6 months to understand it. Maybe some of the consultants go out and try whatever services they provide. So typically on those newer industry related franchise systems, it takes a little bit because our consultants have to kind of get behind those brands. Other times we launch a new brand and the relationship's already formed if they're using a franchise sales organization, an FSO or a development group. And sometimes those take off a little bit quicker. But I think it is those four buckets that they're really excelling at, and plus those bonus questions of great leadership and great financial strength. And it's just kind of magic, right? There's something to when success happens that the stars align, but really it's the foundational work the franchisor has put in years prior, right? We know these founders have had long nights, early mornings, and really grind at the business every which way. And when that has all been laid, then the selling of franchise systems, franchisees, is a little bit easier than the grind that once was when the organization was building. So long answer, but I think timing is important, but I think also those groundwork components are there for a reason because that is the foundation.
Yeah, so all those groundwork components are there, but you mentioned something as well, right? The consultants have tested, they've tried it out. They've actually experienced the brand, or they get it. But more importantly, there's a relationship there. And sometimes that takes time. Or if you're a brand that's with a franchise sales organization, that could already create that validation, that trust there that could otherwise take some time. But clearly you are providing confidence for the consultants at Franchoice, right? You've done your due diligence up front because it might not be the right time for some organizations, right? And just because it's not right now, they could go back to the drawing board or put in some more of that grind work to get those components to a point to where once it is a brand within the inventory at Franchoice, those consultants can more quickly have that trust. Granted, that doesn't mean that it's automatically there across the board, right? So I can see how showing up and being a part of different activities and the ways in which you can develop those relationships and get in front of consultants is just so important, right? Yeah, you know, as we're talking, it's becoming more and more clear that franchising and business is about people and about relationships. My goodness. So at the core of that and people, you can look at it and see culture, right? I think that is ultimately the scoreboard of the relationships within an organization. Yeah, it's what does the culture look like? Even if you're not aware of it as an organization, most certainly have a culture. So in your mind, what is the culture at Franchoice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think some of the things we've talked about, the sharing of best practice, the camaraderie around professionals. I think the only component I haven't mentioned about Franchoice is the results focused. Coming from Best Buy, we spent some time talking about Best Buy. I think when I left, we had 1,200 scorecards. Matter of fact, I think we had about 60 scorecards that just were summarizing the scorecards. We don't have that here, but I mean, this group of professionals from Jeff Elgin across the board at the office and every consultant are so focused on the result. I say that in the retrospect of doing it the right way, right? So many times you can get the result by doing it the wrong way, but doing it the right way in a results-oriented organization is what Franchoice is all about. And kind of tie this together, a lot of our consultants are putting their neighbors, their best friends, their coworkers, their family members inside of these franchise organizations that they work with. And that's the trust level. And I think the fact that they stay connected with them for years to come is they have to be able to put their head on their pillow at night and say, I did the right thing by introducing these two parties together. And that kind of ties this whole conversation, I think, so far around the organization at Franchoice. But that's what I would add around kind of that culture piece, that results focused and doing it the right way.
Yeah, there's a deep love and a grit that's required to be successful. And you implement tactics that comes from training, and there's relationship sharings of practices, but more importantly, a standard and clearly a want for leveling up and being at a high level, being at a world-class level. And that is just not taught, right? That has to be within each individual. And my gosh, you have an entire organization of high performers looking to level up and be world-class and truly make an impact in the world. And in this case, by giving people the American dream, business ownership. So you have all of these things coming together. It just sounds like such an amazing organization to be a part of, helping matchmake and pair these world-class franchise organizations with people that are looking for their path to the American dream, which could be, my gosh, many different reasons why, right? I mean, could be the time and independence. It could be more time with a family or just simply financial success. And clearly all of those things across the board, that's clearly the motivator. I personally, as a franchisor, just love franchising for a lot of these reasons that we're talking about. But Trent, why do you love franchising so much?
Yeah, it's funny. Every day I'm coming to work and it's a big smile on my face. And it's back to the point you hit on earlier, right? The people I interact with, whether it's the individual that thinks they want to turn their business into a franchise and saying, all right, love the concept. Let's look at the buckets I'm looking for. Let's go talk to more people. And just really being that conduit to raise people to the next level, whether it's take a business, make it a franchise, or I have a franchise, I have two locations, and hearing stories of when they hit 50 locations, 100 locations, 400 locations, and those success stories. But people throughout this industry of franchising, and that can be franchisors, the suppliers, everybody out there helping these franchisors become successful, down to a candidate that wants to be a franchisee, or maybe goes through the entire process and goes, you know, that's not for me. Everybody's learning something, and it could be about the brands or it could be about themselves. And it's just so unique of an industry and what franchising can do in 1 year. I kind of say it's this reverse dog year effect of what organizations typically take 7 years to do. Franchising typically can do it in one. And that's the power of the people, right? It's yes, it's also the money that those people bring, but it's the talents and their experiences and just the diversity in thought and everything. Like, you can change a business in franchising in a year's time. It can look completely different because all those people come to play and for an end goal in mind. So absolutely, the people, the joy of people that I get to talk to on a daily basis, including yourself, just make me light up ear to ear with a big smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. It definitely takes a village, that's for sure. And takes a village of world-class individuals with just so much experience. And that's really what FranChoice embodies. So again, Trent, thank you. Obviously, so much appreciation for the organization that you represent. But being a high performer, I know high performance requires balance. And I know that's something that you value. So Trent, when you're not kicking butt and helping organizations and people in franchising make a difference through franchising, what are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, you bet. And typically it was the snowboard or golf. And now I have four kids. And no, it didn't happen overnight. But spending more time with the family is definitely my go-to. And that could be taking the family to the cabin or just spending time at home. We're getting into that early stages of t-ball and kicking a soccer ball around. I'm also doing a college visit with my oldest daughter next week. So just a range of activities, but spending time with the kids, the family is got to be my first go-to if I'm not working.
Yeah, what a joy. I always have a blast catching up with you, Trent, whether we're talking franchising, business, hobbies, clearly our families, so many values that we share. I really appreciate you getting on the show and just contributing to the franchise world. That's the point of this show, helping individuals level up through franchising. So Trent, thank you for being on the show. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, Nick. Anytime.
So if anybody is interested in getting in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can get connected through the website, franchoice.com. But my email, just throw that out there, is just T. Halvorson, T-H-A-L-V-O-R-S-O-N at franchoice.com.
Ah, well, I know I certainly learned quite a bit today and leveled up. I got some insights into this amazing organization at FranChoice. And if you're interested as a franchise brand in joining FranChoice, I highly recommend it. My experience has been nothing short from world-class, but more importantly, please contribute to this conversation. We talked about so many things, ranging from how you scale an organization, what is required to do so, the importance of people and training and expectations and culture, more importantly. So drop some comments down in the comments, contribute to the conversation, but subscribe to the channel. The more subscriptions, the more we can grow and the more we can give back. And as always, level up.